We can see that Diti took to the process of devotional service as outlined by her husband. And if we want to see the transformative power of devotional service, we just have to look around ourselves in the room. Speaking from my personal perspective, I was engaged in all kinds of abominable activities, and by coming into contact with the devotees of the Lord, these things are mitigated somehow, and we have a chance to purify our lives. So, Srila Prabhupada, what he did is he headed for the most materialistic country in the world when he set off for his preaching mission. And within that most materialistic country in the world, he headed for the people who made a religion and a philosophy out of breaking the four regulative principles. They made a philosophy out of that activity. Basically, their mission was to enjoy. And even Srila Prabhupada did this, he still transformed these people, and he still transformed all of our lives by his teachings and by giving us the proper instruction, guiding us in the practice of devotional service. And we should understand that we are unified and we have this fellowship of ISKCON simply on the identification that we are spirit soul, that we are not our bodies. Diti was in the unfortunate condition that she identified so strongly on the bodily platform that her sons had been killed, that Indra was to blame, and that she sought revenge. This is all coming from an attachment to the body. This is all coming from thinking that I am this bag of bones, flesh and blood, and that those connected to me through family ties, birth, country, nation, share some kind of common bond. So this is a very dangerous situation, a very dangerous state of mind to be in. Actually, Srila Prabhupada gave us this society and he gave us a wonderful opportunity to unite on the platform of spirit. The spiritual is the only thing by which we can achieve true unity. Even within family members who share the same bodily attachments, the same blood, you may say, or even within nations or political parties that identify on the basis of some temporary material attachment. Even within those groups, there is friction. There is discord. And we need to be careful as a spiritual society not to fall into that gap, that trap of misidentification with our bodies and false attachments of the body, which actually will lead us to breaking up our society. So, very dangerous state of mind to be in, to be identifying with the body and with so-called family members or countrymen like that. So Diti is having this sinful desire and she cannot control this desire even though she's an elevated person. The one good thing that she does, and very important for all of us to understand also, that she approaches a guru, she approaches a spiritual master with her desire. So she has a desire to kill Indra, and instead of trying to fulfill this desire on her own by engaging somebody to do the act, she is very fortunate in that she approaches her guru, her husband, and she asks for help. So many times in our lives, we may have material desires, but not seek out some help with those desires. We may keep them within the heart, try to suppress them, which ends up anyway in us developing more and more difficulty from that suppression, and most likely eventually ends up in us acting on that desire at some point. So if we want to be serious about avoiding acting on our material desires, very important thing for us is to share that with somebody else. A problem is not a problem if we seek help with it. If we keep it inside, we don't seek guidance or counseling, chances are that we will try to fulfill it on our own, whatever that desire may be. We'll try and do it in a sneaky way, without hoping that we will avoid detection. But ultimately, fulfillment of any material desire, which is contrary to our spiritual development, is going to perpetuate more of the same. It's going to perpetuate more desire. And we'll end up in a cycle of fulfilling our material desires and them expanding and ever increasing. There's a very nice story, example, which is given by my Guru Maharaj, his Holiness Jayapataka Swami, in one class, where he said that story about a sage who had one kopan. So he had this one kopan, and he used to take bath, and then the kopan would be wet. So one day he thought, maybe I need two kopans. So he made arrangements to get a second kopan, and then it was becoming a hassle that, oh, now I've got these two kopans, I have to go and take one to dry, let me get a wife, and she can do the washing. So, how many of the men here do their own washing, wash their own clothes? Some brahmacharis, I think. More than I expected, but still about 5% of the audience. So this sage was thinking in the same way, let me get a wife. So he got the wife. Then the wife said, my dear husband, I need a place to live. So no more living under the tree, let's get a house. So he made a small cottage. Wife said, my dear husband, I need some land to grow the food. We need to eat. So he arranged some land, farming was going on. And then she said, I need children. I need children to help me to manage this household, to manage the land. So the sage gave the children. And then one day he was in a predicament. Now I started with one kopan, now I have this whole household. Let me take sannyas. So back to one kopan. So all this material attachment, material desire will just lead us through cycles of enjoyment. And we have to end up back coming to Krishna for assistance with these desires. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Kali Yuga is especially meant to deliver the fallen souls who are always planning something for material enjoyment. So this is a good lesson for us that planning material enjoyment is not the purpose of our existence. Purpose of our existence is to purify our senses, is to purify our lives in the service of the Lord. So we are uncontrolled and our senses are uncontrolled, then material satisfaction will never come about. There is actually no material solution to a material problem. It might seem that way, that there's a temporary fulfillment, but it will only perpetuate. The Romans, the high class, so-called high class Roman kings and so on, they used to feast until they could no longer eat, then regurgitate their food and start again. So this is what material attempt at material enjoyment is going to give us. Just this disgusting cycle that we'll be trapped in. So when we enter devotional life and we begin to purify the senses, we begin to worship the Lord and we begin to follow the principles, then there is a chance that our propensity to enjoy the senses is diminished. And we see that with devotees, most of the time we're satisfied with a little bit of prasadam, a bit of Krishna prasad. If we're following nicely, that's normally enough to satisfy the senses. But even within that, there is the subtle discrepancies that may creep in due to the weakness of the mind. One nice example was given, I was listening to a class, a nice example was given that even though a little bit of prasadam can satisfy the devotee, then there is still the urge that if you're on the street and you see some nice gulab jamun, some nice jalebi, you might want to enjoy immediately. That is there. Let me offer it on the street. But that's not the process. And we know that. That's not how we are trained. But there was a nice example given of one brahmachari who was visiting Vrindavan. And he wanted to buy some oranges. He went to the orange vendor and said, "Are your oranges sweet?" Vendor said, "Yes, very sweet. Here, open, peeled one and gave a piece." The devotee said, "Sorry." The brahmachari said, "Sorry, we don't take food that is not offered. So we take only Krishna prasadam. First it should be offered." Brajbasi said, "No problem. You eat it. It passes down your throat. It passes the heart. Krishna is sitting there. He accepts it first. Then it goes to your stomach and you take." So I was thinking that, you know, even after hearing this, then what the mind is going to say? Brajbasi. This is an instruction coming from a Brajbasi. No? So if we hear too many instructions like that, even our desire for enjoying pure Krishna prasad can be affected. Even if we have to be very careful all the time. If we engage in devotional activities, we feed the soul directly. That is our business, actually. And in that way, we can avoid all kinds of misguided attempts to enjoy. And back to the point that I made before, very important to take our material desires to someone. Many times in our movement, we have seen great leaders fall, and some of them have indicated that that was because they had no association where they were able to share their mind and confidence with somebody else. They were on such a platform. You know, we put in our society, we put gurus and we put spiritual leaders sometimes on such a platform, and they become isolated. The tendency is there that they don't have that sangha. So for us, sangha is very important. Association of devotees, if we can have some kind of peer sangha where we can share our minds with each other, and some senior association where we can receive guidance, somebody who is actually going to care for us and care for our spiritual life. So very important that we try to find such a person in all of our lives. And when those material desires come up, we can share them. And like in the case of Diti, we can receive perfect instruction. So Diti actually received the perfect instruction, and Kashyapa Muni was fully realized enough to understand that my wife has come to me with this desire to kill Indra. So he could have done many things. He could have said, smashed her on the spot, said, that's ridiculous. Don't come to me with such requests. You go and you purify yourself, follow this process. But no, he was smart enough that he, first of all, that he took the responsibility himself. He said, how foolish am I that I have put myself in this situation to promise this woman, to promise her this benediction, and now I have to fulfill it. So he thought like that, that I'm responsible, and he offered the perfect solution. He said, you will get your desire, just follow this process of devotional service. And he gave a very strict process of worship to follow. So we can see, if we go to a qualified person, reveal our minds and receive perfect instruction, then there is a chance for us to avoid acting on material desires. Lord Chaitanya, it is stated that Lord Chaitanya gives us, in the purport, he gives us the advantage. So what is the advantage that he gives us? In Kali Yuga, where the miserable condition of human life is prevailing, still there is the chance for us that we have this advantage. He gives us a great advantage. The advantage is the chanting of the Maha Mantra, of the holy name. So that's the only remedy. But with an advantage, it still means that we have to take some action. Advantage is there, but it's up to us to take advantage of the advantage. If I said to all of you, after class, I want everybody to please go to Calcutta. So some of you may take a bus, some of you may take a rickshaw, some of you may take a jog over there, the very fit ones, or some of you may walk. So there are different modes of transport, Tata Sumo, Scorpio, something like that. But if I said to one of you, there is a helicopter outside, and you can go very quickly back to Calcutta. So if you get into the helicopter, you have the advantage. If you don't, you have the same playing field as everybody else. You have the same access to the same tools everybody else has. But the holy name is there. Lord Chaitanya gives us this advantage, and it's fully up to us to take it. We, in this room, we have all been given the advantage. We have all been given access, full access. We are in Mayapur Dham. We are in the most spiritually charged place in the universe. We have full opportunity, full advantage. So let us all take advantage of this advantage in Mayapur and in our spiritual lives to perform devotional service in its purest form, to chant the holy names, and in this life itself to go back to Godhead. In the purport also, Prabhupada mentions that there is no loss or diminution on this path. So we have the advantage, now we're practicing, but even if there is some fall down, the advantage is so strong that we are protected, and that at least we are guaranteed to make some advancement. Hopefully we don't fall down, but even if we do, in this life there is a chance that we will come back to the Association of Devotees, and even if we don't, there is a chance in the next life that we will. Actually, it's very important for us right now that we try to go back to Godhead in this life. That is actually the goal. But Lord Chaitanya's mercy is there for 10,000 years. So for 10,000 years you have a window. Better not try and push your luck and see what happens next birth. See, Also, Srila Prabhupada in the purport mentions that practicing Vaishnava principles to a small extent can save one from the greatest danger of material existence. And what is that danger? What is the greatest danger of material existence? Somebody knows? Yes. Yes. Losing our human form of life. So, it's a very serious thing. If we lose the human form of life, it means that we no longer have access or guarantee that advantage is available to us. It may come, it may not come, but in the human form of life, we are guaranteed that we have a chance. We have a chance. Better to take it this life. And then Sri Isupanishad, Mantra 8, there is a nice excerpt in the purport. Sri Isupanishad describes him as Sudam, antiseptic, and Apapa Vidham, prophylactic. He is antiseptic in the sense that even an impure thing can become purified just by touching him. The word prophylactic refers to the power of his association. As mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 9:30-31, a devotee may appear to be su-durachara, not well-behaved, in the beginning, but he should be accepted as pure because he is on the right path. This is due to the prophylactic nature of the Lord's association. The Lord is also apapa vidham because sin cannot touch him. So Diti was practicing Krishna consciousness, and it was so powerful, her practice, that even her unborn child was fully protected by this practice of Krishna consciousness. And that her impure desires, by coming into contact with the Lord and the process of devotional service, were purified. Because the Lord is antiseptic and prophylactic. So He purifies and He, prophylactic means He prevents us from acting. Or He prevents the worst case scenario from happening. In this case, the killing of Indra. So, actually, everyone is benefited by the practice of Krishna consciousness. Diti is purified. Kasyapa is excused from committing or being an assistant in committing the most abominable act of killing Indra. Diti's children are protected. Diti receives 49 demigods as her children instead of one demon ready to kill Indra. So how much benefit is there by practicing Krishna consciousness? Amazing. Indra himself is spared from death. He also apologizes for his abominable act of trying to kill the unborn child. And everyone makes spiritual advancement. So, Kasyapa Muni's instruction to his wife is amazing because it satisfies all concerned and benefits all concerned. Devotional service is like that. It's that purifying. That by one person performing that devotional service, so many lives are affected. So much is purified. Actually, even though Diti's practice was broken momentarily and gave Indra the opportunity to attack her unborn children, even though that happened, the devotional service was so powerful that it had already had effect, its effect. So there was no loss, there was no diminution, even though she failed in her practice momentarily, one time. One time she forgot to wash hands, mouth and feet and took rest during the twilight. I'm going to end with one interesting story just on the point of no loss or diminution. When I was one time about 15 years ago in Soho Street, I was working at the reception And a young boy came in about 7 or 8 years old. He ran in Western Boy in London. He ran in off the street screaming, "Is this Krishna's house? Is this Krishna's house? Where is Krishna?" Very excited. So we were taken aback, some couple of devotees on the door, and we didn't know what to do. He was alone, also no parents. So we started to speak to him. "Yes, yes, this is Krishna's temple. Krishna, the deity is upstairs," and he was like actually beside himself, like kind of ecstatic. And then his parents walked in and they said, "Oh, excuse our son." So we said, no, he's fine. He's just running here looking for Krishna. And actually this is the temple. So we asked them where they were going, what they were doing. They said, no, we are just on the way to the bar to have a drink, the pub, going to the pub to have a drink. And we're taking our son along. So we asked them a few questions. What happened? Why he's so Krishna conscious? Or why he's attracted to Krishna? And they said, no, he has some friends in the neighborhood who are Indian family. And he went to their house one time and saw the deity of Krishna they have. And since then, he's obsessed. He's got pictures, every picture he finds of Krishna, he's got all over his walls in his bedroom. So it was amazing. We started, then the parents said, okay, we're going to the pub. And we said, yeah, we'll look after him. So for about an hour, he was in the temple. And we said, do you want to see the deity? And he said, yes, yes, but I haven't taken bath yet. He said, I know that I should take bath before seeing the deity. I have to clean myself. And he had so much knowledge. Actually, many more things he knew. He was telling us. And eventually we took him to the temple and gave him a songbook, and he wanted to hear kirtan, so we did kirtan together. And it's a very amazing experience, you know. How this young boy is not even born in the family of brahmanas, he's not even born in some high-class, wealthy family, just some middle-class, normal people, you know, normal English, London people. But he had one darshan of the neighbor's deity, and he became completely obsessed with the Lord, and in complete ecstasy, thinking only of Krishna. Amazing. So, it's very powerful. And he was taking full advantage of his advantage. Let us also do the same, practicing our Krishna consciousness. I'll end there. And if there are any questions or comments, thank you. Yes, Prabhu?
Kill Hiranyakasipu, and some of us, even though devotees don't have enemies, we have a tendency to have people who really aren't impressed with us, you know, that we have people that don't like us at all. And how do we react to, I mean, you know, we have people that do like us, friends and supporters, but then there's also along the way, some of us develop people that seem to be act towards us like enemies. And how do we react to that without being on the Bali concept or on the platform of false ego?
So the first thing is, in my understanding, is that we unite with those close to us on the platform of spirit. So we understand the Shastra, we understand that we are a spirit soul, and we seek to keep close to those who are on the same path and take their association and guidance. At the same time, a devotee sees or should see everyone equally, friend, enemy. We should see everyone as spirit soul. We should see everybody as a servant, potential servant of the Lord. So even enemies are there, and it's difficult to keep that kind of consciousness. It's very important to do so. And when it's difficult to see everyone equally and to see the spirit soul and see Krishna in your enemies, then it's better to take association of those who are not inimical, to get Sangha, to get association, and not to see them, not to focus on them, to focus on those who are close to us, focus on our alliances which are based on the spiritual. Yes.
Varna's Randharma, no? So how was that Kashyapa Muni was married to a lady who was not, well, at least was not a Vaishnava? I don't understand something here. I don't know exactly how to express it.
Okay. So how he was married to a lady who gave birth to demons and was looking for another demon to revenge the son, the death of her two demon sons. Like that, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. So, even though it appears that there was incompatibility, actually, by Diti taking marriage with Kashyapa, so she was purified because he is a guru. Because he can give instruction on spiritual life. So it may look that it's incompatible, but the result, the end result, see, Bhagavatam is often about the end result and what happens, you know, at the end. And in the end, so everybody is purified by the Lord's association. Also, last time that I spoke Bhagavatam here, I made one point that all these leelas, they are, you know, the players, the personalities taking that take part in the leelas, they're all very confidential and close servants of the Lord, and they do this as a service. So they do this, they do these leelas as a service, not for their own benefit, but for ours. So we have to read Bhagavatam in a way that how I can become purified from reading this leela. Not how interesting is it that Diti became purified. No. Where am I in this picture? You know? Where are my material desires? How am I dealing with them? That's the real benefit for us. The personalities in these leelas, they're confidential associates of the Lord. And they do this for our benefit. So we should always see that aspect. That how I am going to improve my life by reading this leela. Is that okay? Yes? Haribo. Of
course. Prabhuji.
Haribo.
Prabhuji, you have said that there should be somebody whom we can reveal our heart.
Yes.
That was very beautiful one. As we all are in the conditioned world, in Maya, nobody is in a favor of anybody, especially when it comes to devotional progress. So how do we find that iron wall who can sustain what we are looking into, what are our real problem, and how we can get a person who can share with us and take us to the right path? Mm-hmm. How do we have that confidence in that opposite person? It is so difficult.
Mm. Yes, difficult. Sometimes we are afraid that if I share my mind and confidence, that person will break my confidence. Huh? Report me to some authority that I'm a nonsense because I have this desire. So, yeah, that is there. So really it starts with taking a spiritual master. So we seek first a guru, and by guru's instruction, he may instruct us that this person is good for you as a shiksha guru. And that way find some shiksha guru who can give you good guidance. Of course, it's the same the same process you apply to choosing a guru, you should apply to choosing a counselor. So that are they, you see them, are they following? You see practically how is their spiritual life. Not that you run to just any person in your community, start revealing your mind and your heart in confidence. That's dangerous. Better to see the qualification of the person and approach that process in the same way that you approach finding a guru. Fortunately, I have quite a few devotees who I can turn to. And I've developed those relationships over time. So it might be that you want to develop relationships for some time and then see that gradually you will see that this person is amazing in his practice and his adherence to the principles. And then that may become self-evident to you. That was the case with me. After some time, it became self-evident who the people were that I could trust. And I start to reveal my mind to them. So maybe the same process can work for you. Question? Any other question or comment?
My question is kind of related to the previous question a lot. It's just I'm thinking, when you spoke about taking shelter from senior devotees, I personally find it really difficult to approach them because they're either or busy or they're sick, you know. The Guru Maharaj is so sick, you know. I find it really difficult to approach them. And then I end up just going into Bhagavatam, you know, searching for my, you know, answer.
Yeah, so
it's really difficult. I find it really hard.
Okay.
We have these people, but it's hard to approach them.
I'll give you some practical advice. Are you going to be in Mayapur for some time?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, you may approach the temple authority, wherever you are, and say that I need some assistance. You don't have to reveal your mind to that person, but I need to reveal my mind to somebody. I'd like some association. And they can provide you with some connections. In Mayapur, we have a system like that. We have a department that can do that. You can even come and see me, my office, and I'll help you to find a suitable guide for you. People who are very confidential. I know them, and they can help. It may be that you don't know enough people that can help you. So practically, that can be done. So do come and see me.
Thank you.
That's all. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Hare Krishna.